All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Okay. You know what I'm fascinated with?
Many things.
Telegrams.
Like where the guy shows up and sings
them? Yeah. Well, they don't have to be singing telegrams. I think singing telegrams came as an advancement after regular telegrams.
Oh, yeah. You know? I figured they invented the singing one first, but decided like, hey, there aren't enough people who can sing these. Yeah.
Yeah. What if it's for a funeral? Like what if it's, you know, a divorce? Like you don't want to have singing in all telegram situations.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But I don't even know if you could get a telegram these days. It happens in movies every once in a while. So I looked up online and I bought us at a very cheap price, an old telegram office.
Oh, just out there in the city? Like just where the wires go to?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, where you can wire it. I got a big bag of messages here.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, that never got sent.
Huh. Like,
oh, that's interesting. There's got to be something in there that's cool.
I mean, yeah. Is this going to be sad? Are there going to be sad ones in here?
Oh, it's going to be sad. It's going to be real sad. For every one Daisy had puppies, we're going to get 9 something bad happened to Daisies.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yep. Yeah. Let's reach in real quick.
Okay.
Hey, here, I've got a message to the Action Man.
It says, wait, what? Like from Venture Brothers?
Hope you're happy too. There's not a Venture Brothers game.
No. Wait, game computer. What are you telling me? Oh, Operation Extreme? It's an Action Man game?
Many Action Man games, apparently.
Huh.
Action Man. Action Man.
What are you prompting me to do?
Nothing. I'm just saying it out loud again. I just like it. My name is Gary Butterfield, he, him.
My name is Kay Ross, she, her.
And welcome to Abject Suffering, where you can unlock extra criticisms and improv exercises through the new Duckfeed Battle Pass.
Yeah. And this week, this is a Gary pick. We're talking about Action Man Operation Extreme, I think is what it is. Okay. Yeah.
Operation Extreme, also called Mission Extreme.
Okay.
You know, multiple different places here. I went on a real journey.
Okay.
That brought me to this.
Yeah. Tell me how you found this, because I don't think this is for American eyes.
It kind of not. So I had, you know how you have, we actually just got a duck, what is it? A dispatch question about this.
Yeah.
But you have like a day that has an accidental theme.
Yeah.
The other day when I was picking this out, just wandering, you know, just my mind wandering. I was like, what did people in Europe have instead of G.I. Joe?
Okay.
You know, because
I
like,
bet that G.I. answer Joe, was disappointing.
It's a, well, I think you'll find out soon. It's Action Man.
Mm-hmm.
But because I was like, you know, it's a real American hero and it's like patriotic and stuff.
Yeah.
I looked it up and it was Action Man. I was like, okay, you know, Action Man, he does stuff. And then later that day, Liv and I were watching a compilation of forgotten cartoon intros.
Okay.
Which is a great time you can have.
Yeah, you showed me a few of those when I was over. Yeah.
Yeah, very fun. And I found the intro for the first Action Man cartoon.
Okay.
It is one of the most bewildering fucking things I've ever seen. It tells you nothing about what's happening. It's 2 minutes long. And at about, you know, like a minute into it, Action Man morphs into a live action human.
Oh, no.
And I don't know if it's somebody who came from a cartoon world.
Okay. Does he look disturbing? Is he like, what's he look like?
He looks like a very strong British man.
Okay.
You know?
I can't envision that. I don't know what that looks like.
Yeah, I don't know. They generally like only chip buddies. So I watched a little bit of that cartoon. You know, it's real weird. It starts with like a Universal Studios live action stunt show and then just switches to an unrelated cartoon that takes place in space. at the end of it, the live action actor goes, "All right, then I'll see you in space." And then it cuts to a cartoon of a space station. Very strange. Then I found out that there's another Action Man cartoon that's all CG, and it looks like dog shit.
Well, of course, because it's like, all CG.
It's all CG that never worked. And so I wonder if there are any video games about that. And that's how I came here. So, yeah. So another country's kids media.
Yeah. And it turns out that it is what it is like rebadged G.I. Joe's is what it is. Like, this is
it's Hasbro. Like a smaller force of G.I. Joe's. It's like, what about a scrappy, you know, just a couple of G.I. Joe's who hang out.
Yeah. But also, like, based on what I can see, they fight like Cobra Commander and stuff.
Yeah, basically. They fight a Cobra Commander. Mm-hmm. We have our main guy, Action Man, aka Alex Mann.
Yes.
I love Alex Mann. And then his sidekicks, one of them, they have like G.I. Joe-esque nicknames, and one of them is Grinder, which I really like because it just makes you think it's a Republican senator.
I was going to go with the sandwich, but that's good too.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, what the concept of it is very funny of the 2000 game. Yeah. Like, this is a great paragraph. Alex Mann, Action Man's civilian identity, is an extreme sports athlete of Team Extreme, taking part in Master Vision's Network's Acceleration Games, a series of unconventional televised sporting activities all over the world. Danger and adrenaline trigger hidden mental powers called the AMP, Advanced Macro Probability Factor, a result of secret experiments by his former high school coach. That's great.
Alex is able to calculate all future possibilities, choosing the best course of action. There are others. I'm looking at the actionman.fandom.com here. Mm-hmm. Action Man, Desmond Grinder, Sinclair, Agnes, Fidget, Wilson, and Ricky Singh Baines.
Yeah, Singh Baines. It's not Singh isn't his nickname. He's got a hyphenated last name.
Yeah. Yeah. Must up arch enemy Dr. X.
Yeah, Dr. X. And then eventually Gangrene and Toxica is who you fight in the beginning of this. I was trying to lure you into a phrase of saying you could fix Toxica. Like, hear me out.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know why that occurred to me. I just kind of thought maybe there's a chance. You can see Toxica in the beginning of the Action Man Operation Extreme and be like, I don't know, I could fix her.
I'm not so much a I could fix him. I'm not an I could fix her gal. I'm a I would let her ruin my life gal.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let Toxica ruin your life.
Yeah. Yeah. Just get really just wrapped up in everything that she's got going on. Yeah, she's got kind of a punky look. I can see where that inclination might come through. She is only depicted as a character dialogue portrait kind of deal.
In this video game that is really weird, this is actually, and you would not know this at all from playing it if you're me, like a Metal Gear Solid alike, but it starts with two levels of the worst overhead driving GTA thing you've ever done.
Yeah. So like I picked this up and, you know, started playing it, and it really comes across like this team, Interactive Studios Limited.
Love it. Absolutely. Yeah. Data Systems Incorporated.
No notes. It really comes across as them trying to make like a kid-friendly GTA. This came out in 1999. So like, I don't know. Also, I assume this is a British company. It's a British property. I'd never heard about it. So like maybe the 2D GTAs were a bigger deal. And it's like, okay, this is satisfying a particular need. It's fucking awful, but I can recognize kind of what this is.
The for some reason, you know, the Rockstarification, you know, that being a British company, those old overhead GTA games, some people insist they are playable.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree. I find those really, really hard to do.
Yeah.
And this is a worse version of that. It's kid friendly, you know, but it's just really bad overhead tank controls. And once you do that, you're done. You know, you're done. You're now in a Metal Gear Solid knockoff.
Yeah.
Here, but you have to get through this. And I don't know how to do it. I was very bad at this.
I got through the vehicle segments. Like, you have to do a bunch of shit with it. Like, first you have to take out 8 of the Dr. Toxic or whatever. Their
gangrene.
Cars, gangrene, there we go. You have to take out like 8 of gangrene's like just henchmen, like nemesis mm-hmm. cars out on the streets. Then you have to collect 30 power points.
Yes. And you can switch your vehicle. Like, you can uh-huh. go back to the base and switch your vehicle and get in a motorcycle if you'd like. So you can squeeze into little places, collectathon places. Like, one of the power points was between 2 vans.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I just had to go get the motorcycle to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting. Action.
Action.
I went home to switch out my vehicle so I could fit into a tighter space.
Action. You can do jumps and stuff too. Like, there's a whole line of them you have to get by jumping over the canal in the middle of the city. And then once you get enough power points, you unlock the 4x4, which is a slightly tougher car to fight Gangrene herself.
Yeah. It doesn't explode. This is where I died and lost interest.
Yeah.
Right around there.
The Metal Gear Solid, like, part of it is fucking intolerable.
I believe it.
You do not move. It is top down, but too zoomed in. I'm being shot by people who are off screen.
Oh yeah. Oh baby. That's action.
Yeah.
That's what I want from action.
Mm-hmm. To have things to work out like real screen. Life. To be shot by somebody that I did not see and will never see.
Basically, that is action. That counts as action. When somebody's like, give me action, mm-hmm. or like, I want some action.
Yeah.
That's one of the ways the action can happen.
Yeah. One of the things that makes the vehicle part of this so bad is that, unlike the 2D Grand Theft Autos, North is not fixed.
Yes.
So you are, it was actually like, not like motion sickness, but very disorienting and hard to look at. The whole screen kind of top down rotating with your car.
Yeah. Yeah, I did not like it.
No.
It did not work for me. It's a pass.
It's a pass from me.
It's a pass from me. It's a swipe right or swipe left or whichever one is bad.
I've never used one of those apps. It's been a minute for you. So,
yeah. But I thought like there'd be something with Action Man,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I was kind of wrong. it's a little boring. I did find something else though when I was researching this that might have some traction.
Mm-hmm.
When I was looking at those old cartoon intros,
yes.
Did you know there is a Free Willy cartoon where did you know that the kid from Free Willy develops superpowers and they fight like Dr. Cyborgius or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay. Well, never mind then. I was pretty shocked by that.
I was like, yeah, because like that Free Willy, it's, you know, I saw that last time I saw it, I was like 6. Pretty like heartfelt story about a little boy who becomes attached to a whale that is going to be shot and turned into products or something.
Yeah. If you don't know Free Willy, the kid becomes friends with the whale.
Yes.
And then frees the whale before it gets murdered.
Yeah. I can't for the life of me figure out why they're going to murder that whale.
Because he's going to go stop crimes. It's the Dr. Cyborgius is going to do it or whatever.
So all along in Free Willy 1 and 2, Dr. Cyborgius was pulling the strings?
He's named the Machine. Huh. But I can only assume so.
Hmm.
Injured the Machine is the villain. And he teams up with other animals. Mm-hmm. And it's fucking wild to me.
That wasn't an especially popular show, but I do remember it. I remember like not being terribly into it was the thing.
I'm sure it's not good. Free Willy is a little bit after my time.
Yeah,
like generally it was a younger kids movie when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
I was fully Beavis and Butthead filled. I did have the thought, if you force me to like pitch a Free Willy cartoon,
uh-huh.
this might be the most obvious. Which is wild.
Is it the most obvious though? Like a Free Willy cartoon seems to be like, now that he's free, he has a bunch of like animal friends, but still gets called back to, I don't know, like help like solve like local crimes or something.
I mean, that's also equally wild. I, you know, the funny pitch I would make would be Willy keeps getting captured and every episode he has to free Willy. Like, it's just literally, and he can still talk to him, but all Willy says is, sorry, I'm so sorry. Every single time. And he just frees him from an increasing, you know, a bunch of situations that get increasingly outlandish. You know, maybe some of them are metaphorical, like Willy gets married and the kid has to annul. You know,
he gets into a crushing amount of gambling debt.
Yeah, he gets into debt. Maybe he owes a life debt to another whale. You know, another whale saves his life, and in his culture, like, he gets deconned. He's been drawn in by the symbol of torment.
Yeah,
and the boy has to fix it. Jesse,
the boy.
Yeah, that is how I would pitch the cartoon. But I'm pretty into the machine. You know,
yeah.
And him getting a super Native American animal talking powers called truth talking.
Well, is it coded as Native American?
Yeah, and a Native American tells him that he's a truth. He's like, I believe you are a truth talker.
Yeah,
you can speak to.
The overarching conflict is reminiscent of Moby Dick, a powerful oil baron known to the main characters only as a cyborg called the Machine until the final episodes.
That's a powerful sentence. The overarching conflict is reminiscent of Moby Dick, a powerful oil baron known to main characters as a cyborg called the Machine. This is really similar to A Tale of Two Cities. Dr. Chronoculus has ruled Time City for, like 10 parsecs.
He loses his arm and a part of his face to Willy while committing an environmental atrocity and wants revenge upon that rotten whale, and his boy.
I love that Willy took his arm and part of his face.
Yeah.
That's hardcore, Willy. Go, Willy.
Very good. Just... Sorry, that rotten whale and that boy.
And his boy, too.
Yeah, until I showed that Principal Kahotek and that boy of his.
The overarching conflict is reminiscent of Beloved.
He moved to Seattle.
Except for Baby Suggs is on a hover chair and is attached to machine guns and cruises around clearing the bayou of mutoids. You know? I love cartoons.
Gary, do you want to hear something amazing?
Yeah.
So the Willy in this is voiced by Paul Haddad, who you might recognize as the voice actor. See, that's the obvious way. And I was prepared for that and thought it would be funny. However, that is the original voice actor of Leon S. Kennedy.
No, nice.
Yeah.
From Resident Evil 2.
Also voice actor. Series? Yeah. Quicksilver and Archon.
Who the fuck's Archon?
I don't know. Archon the Magnificent?
That does not sound familiar to me.
Okay.
That's weird. Yeah, that's awesome. Go Willy. Go Paul Haddad getting that paycheck. 1993.
I saw that he died in 2020, so I figured it might be a COVID thing. No, it was aggressive throat cancer. So that's a bummer.
Cool.
Didn't need to say that. But fun fact.
Yeah, that is not quite a fun fact. That was like a less of a fun fact than one might think.
Yeah. My brother sent me a link to a YouTube playlist of all the old pop-up videos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't aware that those were on YouTube. It never occurred to me to search for them, because when's the last time you thought about pop-up video? But like, that's
more
where I first,
you might think. I love that show.
Oh yeah, no, it was great. Like, it was actually like a lot of my first exposure to old REM songs. Like, it, you know, being just me being like 11 or 12 and just watching VH1 because I liked the music on it more, which is really, really funny.
Well, and now by that time, MTV had, it wasn't what it used to be.
Yeah.
The thing about pop-up video as well is that it has Rock Band appeal in that it can make awful songs tolerable because you're just watching the trivia. Mm-hmm. So like, oh, this is the video for Wholehearted. Like, I guess I'll watch that because I'm learning little bits, even though I fucking hate this video and song.
It is not, and it's not even just trivia about the song itself. Sometimes it's just things that are related. Like they run out of steam in the Losing My Religion video, so they just start putting up a bunch of factoids about religion.
Yeah, Webster defined religion as.
Boop.
Boop.
Yeah,
that's great. It that ties into, you know, going and watching these old cartoon intros. I brought this up on shows before. I don't think it's going to have traction, but I'm pretty much fully embracing that. Like one of my favorite activities is remembering things.
Yeah,
you know, from when I was young. Mm-hmm. My grandpa, before he passed, I bonded with him because I found an old magazine called Reminisce.
We talked
about that before. And it's just old ads
mm-hmm.
and shit. And at the time I was like, this is kind of sad. And now I'm like, fucking give me that.
Yeah. Like, give me that.
Where's Reminisce, but for 1992.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can just buy those magazines. And every single time I lose my fucking mind, or I can just go on YouTube and like, oh man, that is the intro to this cartoon I've seen two episodes of. That's Monster uh-huh. Force. I remember Monster Force. That's Monster Force to me.
Oh my God, Gary, if I went out and bought Reminisce right now, would it be talking about 1992?
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe.
The way that you said it, it made it very much sound like you could just go buy that magazine right now and find out about 1992. Oh,
when I said that magazine, I was doing some work in my head that I didn't say out loud.
Oh, okay.
Which is a good thing to do on the podcast.
Absolutely.
Which is that the actual magazines with the actual ads. Like I can just mm-hmm. go buy an old Wizard magazine.
Yeah.
And have that experience. I don't need Reminisce to reprint the ads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's the thing.
If Reminisce ages not, you know, if it ages in real time,
mm-hmm.
that'd be incredible. Like I think Reminisce would now be up to like the 70s or 80s.
Probably.
Yeah. Like early 70s maybe.
Yeah. I was at a gas station earlier today getting a pop, and what they were playing was Wannabe by Spice Girls. Okay.
Sure.
And I got to the, you know, I got to the desk and I told the older lady at the desk, this annoying song is 30 years old. Mm-hmm. And then she just kind of went, huh? And then checked me out. She was not there for my shit that day.
Yeah. I get that. just like, okay, very well.
Yeah.
Off you go.
Yep. Yeah, please. Please yeah. leave here with your diet.
Our transaction is done.
just the remembering stuff is fun. Like what I want to find, like you can just see all the episodes of Syphil and Ollie on YouTube right now, which mm-hmm. is amazing. But what I want is just a collection that is just the entire 10 spot block from like 1998 on MTV.
It's possible I'm going to change your life here because I haven't actually looked this up, but I was thinking about how I wanted that for Adult Swim.
Okay.
And there's a guy on Etsy who records, like has 3 hours of Adult Swim with commercials on VHS that he just sells.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that might exist. Look on Etsy.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I'm just looking at the splash image just showing what the programming is. Real World at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Biorhythm at 10:30.
Biorhythm.
Like, Biorhythm. Yes, just like a really subdued show that was just biographies of bands. Fuck mm-hmm. yes.
Yeah.
The Cut. I don't remember what The Cut is.
Mm-hmm.
11:30 Loveline.
Loveline.
And then 12:30 Syphil and Ollie. Me yeah. staying up like every night that I could to like to watch Syphil and Ollie at 12:30 a.m.
to watch Loveline and get your Corolla fix.
Yeah, I get my Corolla fix. Yeah. That was where they aired a bunch of Daria. I had a lot of formative experiences on the 10 spot, Gary.
Yeah, yeah. I love that shit. Like mm-hmm. I also they're formative and everything. The thing that I've been enjoying is going back to shit that is bad. Mm-hmm. Like I love going back to stuff that's actually good. That's the best feeling in the world.
Yeah.
You know, but there is something to the shit that I didn't watch that I'm finding out about where, you know, like the Free Willy cartoon where I really, really enjoying shit that was incredibly weird that flew under my radar because I did not have any kind of awareness of weirdness.
Yeah. You had no feelers in that location.
Had no feelers in that, like no appreciation for the surreal. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought I did. I liked like Ren and Stimpy, and I was like, "Oh, it's kind of surreal. It's a little intellectual." Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is a little bit heady, actually.
You asshole.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, this is actually, I prefer sophisticated cartoons. You know, like kind of adult cartoons. There's a little bit of pubic hair in this cartoon.
So swirling a Yahtzee shaker full of Kool-Aid like it's brandy, yeah. Like it's a snifter.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, you're excited about the new Hyper Fighting Edition of Street Fighter. That's interesting. I'm playing Starflight 2 on my hand-me-down PC, Trade Routes of the Cloud Nebula. It's an economic trading game about, you know, really communicating.
Yeah, it's about bringing the galaxy together.
Would you like to see it? Would you like to come out to my room?
No. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I wasn't really. I thought I was just being your hype man in this. I did not think that I was... in this scene, I didn't think I was the person opposite you that you were trying to lure into your bedroom.
It's just like, I wasn't trying to even make that seductive. I just had a memory of when I was playing that game. You know, when you're young, sometimes you have a social breakdown. And you have no idea why.
Mm-hmm.
I had two friends over, ran out of things to do, and just was like, "Hey, I'm going to show you guys this game." And then just started playing that until they left. It was not my finest moment, and when I think back on it, I have no idea what I was going through. I just like all social functions shut down at once.
Did they tell you that they left?
I don't remember. I kind of feel like they might have just like shuffled out because I was distracted by Starflight 2. Which, if you're listening to this, look at a screenshot of Starflight 2. It's not a fun game to watch.
No,
it's mostly figures. It's mostly about trading. Mm-hmm. Things. It's a cool ass game, but like, yeah,
So
I did take people up into my room to show them that, and then immediately just kind of iced them out.
Yeah. Now, I remember I had a bit of a social break with a friend because they came over. This is like in like 1998, something like that. We had the internet, but not especially good internet where you could like look at things on it. And my friend was like, "Oh man, I want to get on the internet." And so like, took him to some sites, I don't know, Game Facts, or probably Secrets of the Sages at that point or whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, "This is too much reading." And I was like, "Well, okay. I don't know what to tell you, buddy."
Yeah.
The internet's a lot of reading.
Yeah. Yeah. In the future, you can watch TikToks.
Yeah. Then he just kind of left because he was disappointed in the internet through
in me, the internet.
Yeah.
During the time in which like the internet would mostly be, you know, troubleshooting your Linux mm-hmm. system and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like the equivalent of I am on a ham radio. You know? Like I am also on a ham radio.
Look at this animated GIF of Cecil. He's attacking. What's he attacking? I don't know.
Yeah. Listen to this MIDI of MIDI of any video game song.
Mm-hmm.
It's a worse version.
If you have 40 minutes, I can get you a Ralph Wiggum's quote compilation .wav.
Yeah. this is going to be sweet once this downloads. Oh, baby.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. Old.
Mm-hmm. Us. Old us. It's fine.
Yeah, I've decided it's okay.
I forget what interaction I had where somebody was talking about getting old, and I just said, I've always felt this way.
Yeah,
it's always really been on fire to me.
Yeah. It's interesting how young person slang, when I get exposed to it, some of it is reasonable and makes sense, and then some of it is just like skibbity. You know, it's literally nonsense.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why they both get equal footing with young folk. Like, so I said at band practice the other day, I was like, "I locked in." And Brian was like, "Did my kids say that?" And I was like, "Okay. No, that's useful." You know, uh-huh. Kind of like we were talking about earlier with useful. It's uh-huh. useful. You lock in. Like you pay mm-hmm. attention, you focus.
Yeah.
You know. But they also say 6-7 a lot.
What the fuck is 6-7?
Nobody knows. There are articles about it. There's discourse around whether we should just let kids have it.
Okay.
I don't know.
6-7 named 2025 word of the year by dictionary.com. Here's what it really means.
What is it? What does that say?
Okay.
Because I couldn't, when I was talking to Brian, we didn't know.
Yeah. The online dictionary announced that the word of the year is 6-7 or 67 While some interpret the phrase to mean so-so, or maybe this, maybe that, it's also used as an exclamation, according to a dictionary.com news release. Part inside joke. Just tell me what the fuck it means.
Yeah, it's a, like, 6-7, like, oh, it's, you know, it's fine. It's maybe.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. Uh-huh. But as an exclamation, it's fucking wild. Like, that, that's some, you know, just shouting out two numbers is like, that means good.
Yeah.
You know? And good, yeah, not against it. Like, I'm not trying to, like, oh, we have to kill it, like, Common Core or whatever.
No.
You know, who cares?
I don't know. Like, my elementary school kid's math is making me feel dumb.
Yeah, it's making me feel stupid, so it has to end. It's better for them, but I'm, you know, I'm not saying that. Like, it doesn't bother me. It's just confusing.
Mm-hmm.
You
know,
yeah.
Kids. Yeah, 6-7 definition. Sorry, this purports, it's part inside joke, part social signal, and part performance, Steve Johnson, director of lexicography, says. When people say it, they're not just repeating a meme, they're shouting a feeling. It's one of the first words of the year that works as an interjection, a burst of energy that spreads and connects people long before anyone agrees on what it actually means.
Okay. That started as his write-up for pitching the happiness, like, percentage project or something like that. Like, some kind of sci-fi thing that infects everybody with love.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he decided to be better to be about the word 6-7.
Random acts of 6 and 7.
Yeah. Like, this was a self-help thing.
Huh.
It spreads community and joy.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been fucking doing it.
Yeah. Shit. And I'm seeing, I've never heard this. Ever.
Huh. No. Yeah.
No.
It's I don't know if you say it back. You know, is it like a greeting? Is it like a test?
Like, if I walk up to somebody and say 6 and they say 7, like, is that a password?
That would make sense. I'm saying, like, you walk out, you're talking to them and they go 6-7 in response to what you're saying. And then are you supposed to go, and 6-7 to you?
What?
You know, or you're going to be like, yeah, 6-7. Or you'd be like, yeah, 6-7. And like, high five is what that article made it sound like.
Yeah. Glamour.com. Why are kids saying 6-7 and why is it being banned? The meme explains.
Being banned?
Yeah, being banned. What the fuck are you talking about?
You can't ban that, numbers in school. It's one of the main things you learn about in school.
Has to be banned in certain classrooms because it's proven so disruptive. TBH, come on, Glamour. This is mostly due to the fact that kids are shouting this out randomly while gesturing with an accompanying juggling hand gesture.
We're living in weapons. It's slightly different.
Weapons is happening every day.
Weapons is happening every day in our schools. I just don't know about it.
There are weapons everywhere for those with eyes to see them. Yeah. I've got to say, doing this just to, like, fuck with and baffle teachers and grownups is fucking amazing.
It's pretty, like, good if it, like, literally they're just, I have to know the origin.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, if they're just doing it, it's like, yeah, it just means you don't fucking get it. And that's the whole point. Like, that's real good.
It's almost literally 23 skidoo. Like, nobody knows what that means.
A juggling motion?
It was the juggling motion that won me over, is the thing.
Like, pantomiming juggling while you yell out a phrase till the teacher tells you to stop? Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm glad that we don't have that many teachers that are, like, vets. Because it feels like this would just drive them to insanity. Like, I don't know. This feels like a way to drive your teacher to the nut house.
Yeah.
Like,
I know somebody who started substitute teaching recently. I need to ask them. I've cashed in too many, like, going to my niece and asking, hey, what's this kid thing? Is this for fucking real?
Yeah.
So I need to go to this source and see if any of the classes they've subbed. Okay.
Or you move out here and you and I go undercover as kids. And we charge the network. It's for a show.
Okay.
And we go in and we find out real slang from real kids.
Gary, I think that would get us thrown in hyper prison.
No, what if our disguises were good enough?
Okay. All right. So it needs to be really good disguises.
Yeah. Really good disguises. Like, who's that? Who are those huge kids? Like, who are those giant seventh graders who keep walking around saying 67?
Sir, I'm an Iraq war baby.
Yeah. Like, And just like, you know, like teacher's like, oh, you know, what class are you in? And we're like 6'7" K-pop demon hunters.
I'm out. Well, shit. Okay. Knows the lingo. Yeah,
you pass the test. Yeah. You fly boys crack me up. And just, you know, put you in class. And just like, hey, you know, Tayden, do you have the 6'7" on tonight's assignment? And just see what happens. See what they say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, shoot.
Okay. Look forward to DuckFeed's newest show, high school or grade school undercover.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't arrest us edition.
It's just a prank edition.
Yeah. It's just a prank. It's not serious.
No.
What should people do if they like this show?
If people like the show, they can go to patreon.com/DuckFeedTV, kick us a few bucks a month. You get a shitload of bonus content and you help us keep doing this.
Yes. And we really appreciate it. You know, and who that value cannot be measured.
No, not
appreciation.
At all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the kind of thing that 6'7" does. It brings people together in appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
You can also leave ratings and reviews. You can tell your friends about us, post online, things like that. That's very appreciated. And you can join us in thanking our producer, Gwen.
Thank you so much, Gwen.
Yeah. Thank us and join produce Gwen. Thanks. I'm running out of the steam. I'm starting to scramble them.
No, I got you. Oh, so we got to go. We got to go. Until next time, this has been Abject Suffering, where we will currently be pivoting to a Roy-less format. Anybody named Roy is now required to delete all DuckFeed programs from their feed. You have been warned.